John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
This week on The Breakup Breakdown.
I remember one specific night, he farted in bed and I was gaslighting myself. What is that smell? Holy hell. And I start like violently dry heaving and running and screaming. And he's like crying, laughing so hard. And I start sobbing. And that was the moment where I was like, I don't know if this is going
to
work.
I know it sounds like a petty reason to divorce someone over a bodily function, but I feel like you'll get where she's coming from after this interview. Welcome to season 6, episode 10 of The Breakup Breakdown, where our guest says she divorced her husband over his farts. I'm your host and lead relationship PI, Abby Murphy. And if you're wondering, where do all these crazy breakup stories come from? Well, I take submissions through a submission form in the episode description. Sometimes people submit their own stories. Sometimes people submit things from social media. Or if you're feeling especially nosy and you want to know why that girl you went to high school with ditched her boyfriend of like 10 years and didn't post anything on social media explaining herself and you want someone to find out, you can also submit those tips as well. Wherever the story comes from, you know we love hearing what happened, but also getting some really good relationship lessons along the way. And as always, if you would like to jump to a certain part of this interview, timestamps are located in the episode description. Hey, Heartbreakers, welcome back to another episode of The Breakup Breakdown. Always appreciate you tuning in. So this week's submission is coming from Reddit, which is actually a first for us, where somebody says they divorced their husband over their very pungent farts. But before we get into that, every week we give a shout out to a different domestic violence shelter throughout the country just to raise more awareness. And if you feel called to donate resources or help them out in any way, you know where to find some great shelters. This week we are shouting out Safe Haven in Arlington, Texas. They are the only state designated family violence center in Tarrant County. All those details to check them out are in the episode description. Also, a couple of months ago, I did a live podcast in Atlanta, Georgia with my friend Amber. She gave us a wild tale about the time she got catfished for 8 years. If you're still interested in checking out that story, it's available for purchase on Vimeo for $1.99. But now we can finally get into this crazy submission from Reddit, which is a lot longer than the typical submission I have. So sit with me here. I promise it's worth the listen. So here's what it says from Reddit. This is from the Reddit thread. Am I the asshole? From user doprogrammer859. Here's what it says. I truly wish this were a joke. Once we got married, things went downhill very quickly. My husband started inhaling as many snacks and as much dairy as possible at night. Sometimes he would go out and get a deep dish, fried cheese, loaded pizza, and devour it at 11 p.m. after eating an entire bag of greasy chips and like 27 pieces of taffy and a glass of milk. Or three. At first, I thought it was just a bad fart here and there, but as the nights progressed, I realized that the bad farts were becoming a nightly nightmare. I know what normal stinky farts are, even bad sulfuric farts, but these are not simply either of those. These farts are incompatible with life itself. The first time one really hit me in the face, I projectile vomited. I could taste them. They were almost tangible objects in the air. I'm convinced they are soaked into the carpet and walls. Rotten egg is not even enough to describe what the smell is. It's almost as if something literally died inside his stomach and was leaking into the air trying to kill anyone that smelled it. His farts are not human. They are not silly little rotten egg farts. There is something wrong with him. Truly, these farts are almost alive with a mind of their own, and they're terrifying. If there was a horror movie made about farts, it would be about his. They are unsettling at best. They make your mind feel like something bad happened. perhaps a murder. Your spirit does not feel settled because these are not normal farts in any way at all. These are violently horrifying. I got to the point where I had to stop sleeping in our bedroom the second month of our marriage. Not only that, but I had to blast the AC, stuff towels under our door, stuff towels under my daughter's door, turn the fan on in both rooms, and sleep in her room with her. He snuck into her room and farted when I was almost asleep so that I would start dry heaving. I had to start sleeping with the door locked with her. I started routine prescription nausea medicine to keep my food down at night, just in case, because it was becoming kind of a health hazard because of how sick it was making me. When I asked him if he thought the amount of food he was inhaling every night was causing his farts, he said, yes. I asked if maybe he could slow down or substitute for healthier snacks, such as sea salt popcorn or a lighter and less full of thick cheese snacks. And he said no. His reasoning? He said he likes the way the farts feel exiting his butt as they vibrate his prostate and butthole. Like, I'm not even kidding. He freaking said that. I'm so horrified. I even typed that. My life became a living nightmare as I could no longer sleep in my room and also remain alive. My desk was in my room, so I also had to stop working in the daytime from my bedroom. He works from home in the bedroom too. I had to change the entire situation just to cater to the pleasure of his farts. I tried desperately to get him to a doctor. I found referrals to gastroenterologists. I bought him probiotic enzymes, milk substitutes. I cooked healthy meals. He would literally tell me he didn't want the healthy meal and drive himself to a Taco Bell instead. He refused to go to the doctor. He took the probiotics sometimes, but usually just pretended to and slipped them by his nightstand so I wouldn't see that he didn't take them. Knowing I was going to have to remain on prescription nausea meds, possibly for life, just to cohabitate with this man was so mind-blowing. Our budget was going crazy to keep up with the demands of the amount of food needed to keep his farting for pleasure needs met. At one point, he literally inhaled so much food so fast and so nonstop that he gained 12 pounds in 48 hours and he looked at the scale and screamed. I tried to get him into therapy and a psychiatrist, but no, I am a very body positive person that does not fat shame and genuinely believes that you should eat what makes you feel healthy and good and not worry about hitting some numbers on a scale. The situation, however, feels like a very disastrous issue that is very weird and not common, something that people probably can't relate to because it's just completely absurd in every way. He said he will always choose that vibrational fart feeling and the fart smell and the grease snacks and the cheese above me. He said that's a hill he's forever willing to die on. Anyways, that's just a story of why I'm divorcing my husband over farts. On the surface level, I know it sounds like it's just about farts and that I'm just a really shallow wife, but I think it's actually so much deeper. It's just hard to explain how. Well, of course, I wanted to talk to her about how much deeper this issue went. So we're going to chat her up about this smelly issue when we break down this week's breakup.
It's so funny just how this whole story just blew up is so funny to me. I think people still think it's not real. And I also think it's not real in my brain. I refuse to like accept it being a real thing. But here we are. I had lived in an apartment with my daughter. And last summer, I moved home with my parents.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Moto Casino.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards. And they were helping watch her while I traveled for my job. So I was still with them in the fall of last year, which is very recent. I didn't know that my husband, we'll call him Will. I didn't know that Will existed at the time, but he lived in my parents' neighborhood and he would walk his dogs all the time. And I was like, oh, he's cute. So as the fall kind of progressed, I tried to talk to him and I would come up with like reasons to go outside of their house. I was planning to get an apartment that January. So I had like a small time frame where I could accidentally be in their front yard and talking to him. And we talked more and more. And it just kind of became a thing. We grabbed coffee one day. I thought he was just so cute, and just he spilled a little bit of water that day at the coffee shop, and I thought, oh, he's a klutz like me. Oh, it's such a rom-com. I love this. Yeah, no, it's so weird how it ended, but that's how it kind of began. He was just a guy walking the dogs, and I was a creepy neighbor girl stalking him, basically. And about 1 month into it, I was like, oh, I don't feel very good. And Christmas was approaching. I had been around him and my daughter, who was 6 at the time, a lot, obviously. And I did a COVID test and it was positive. And I said, hey, I think you should take one. His was positive. And then so about a month into meeting him, we all three had COVID. Well, we think my daughter did, but she didn't test positive. She was just sick. So we all had to kind of quarantine together over the holidays for 2 or 3 weeks. At one point, she went to her dad's and we were still quarantining. We had to take off on a trip just to get away and find a place to stay because we were just trying to get away from our parents and all that. And we took a road trip together 2 months into the relationship across New Mexico, Colorado. We were sick as dogs, and it was a really big bonding experience. But a keynote from all of that is that I couldn't smell anything at all. So I don't know if you've had COVID where you lose your taste and smell. It's kind of a scary feeling because you could actually smell. I mean, the building could be burning down and you wouldn't smell it. You wouldn't taste the spiciest food in the world. There's no sense there. So he, you know, broke that relationship barrier one time pretty early on, like kind of freakishly early on. He farted in front of me. And then I was like, oh, that's funny. You know, I have 3 brothers. That's funny. But he would still kind of be modest about it. So once I had COVID, he didn't really hold back. You know, we were basically living together, quarantining. And I was like, oh, that's funny. I can't smell anything, so I don't care. Yeah, we kind of snowballed into it after that. I feel like we kind of trauma bonded because that was the sickest I had ever been. I fainted at Walmart. They called a code on me, or they called an ambulance on me. We just went through a lot of trauma in a short time together. I knew I was trying to move out. I had some deadlines to meet. And he wanted to get away from that neighborhood and, you know, have a different life too. So we were like, well, maybe we should just move in together and get married. And that was the craziest decision we both made.
So how many months had you guys been together total?
Since our first date, that was literally 3 months.
Oh my God. Okay.
Oh my gosh. It was crazy. We'll tell you it was the dumbest thing we've ever done. Like, we don't know what we were thinking. We had a lot of pressure from like various sources, not our family, but just a lot of pressure, like just growing up in the South in the Bible Belt, like, well, y'all are living together and y'all aren't married. We have some pretty heavy duty pressure on the situation to get married. Maybe we should, because we're still in love. And I'm just not recovering my sense of smell. I didn't really have any huge red flags. I just can't believe I did that. That's so unlike me.
Yeah. What made you do something that was so out of character for you?
I thought it was just like this love at first sight. We got along so well. And I mean, to a degree, we still get along pretty well, but it was just like almost like a twin flame thing. I think in our heads, we were like, okay, we signed a 15-month lease. My daughter just views him as a father figure. Like, they're so close. They're besties. I mean, I tell him because he's immature and, you know, he is at her level. We were just kind of like, if it's going to happen anyway, let's just do it now. And that really made sense in our brains at the time.
Yeah,
just like removed part of our brains when we were sick, but it made sense to us and then it didn't.
I always joke that the first 90 days of a relationship is kind of like the fun-free trial where it just feels like everything's perfect. And then something happens on day 91 where you just kind of wake up. And so getting married within that 90-day trial, it's like getting married drunk. You know, it's like you're in Vegas and you're so high off of the endorphins and the oxytocin and whatever chemicals run through your brain when you're in love. But you know what? Good on you. That is quite the leap.
It was so crazy. Just, I think the next week we both had a wake up call. He tried to file literally the next week when it was in the period.
Divorce.
Yeah. Like, what did we do? Like, we are actually kind of opposite when we're living under the same roof. We are really good friends, but this is like not a compatible situation. And what had happened was, I didn't realize, because you're not around someone 24/7 until you live with them. I didn't realize his eating habits were so different than mine as far as like groceries and food as a whole and when he ate. So me and my daughter, she's huge on health. She just turned 7. Like she gets excited to go look for fruits and veggies and cooking meats and steaks. And I mean, she loves all of that, which is crazy. She's not like a chicken nugget lover kid. She doesn't really like chicken nuggets. So she's that girl. And I'm trying to like help her. And because I love my sugar too, but just like Will. Once I saw him, I was like, okay, hey, what are you eating after dinner? Like I would cook a dinner, you know, salmon and like rice and veggies. And he'd be like, yo, I'm going to go get some Wingstop. And then I'd see that like one time, I think I saw that he got Taco Bell and then Wingstop, like a double dinner. And then he had like ice cream and he had like a storage of taffy and like half a bag of chips and like so much junk food in a 3-hour span from dinner to midnight that it was like, oh my God, what is going, oh my God, this is so bad. What are you doing? Like that became every single night. I just at some point was like, hey, that's not really great or healthy. We are not on the same wavelength at all. And then I realized what was happening. I think slowly, maybe my sense of smell just didn't return completely. I couldn't really tell you, but once it did, I remember one specific night in February, he farted in bed. I'm just going to say fart because that's what I said on Reddit during my rant.
Other than a fart? Was it a shart?
No, it was a fart, but I know that like, that's not like the appropriate word, but.
Oh no, please. Yeah. Please don't say toot. Like we're not 3 years old.
I'm so glad you just said that. You know what? There was a red flag at one point, you know, he had broken that fart barrier or whatever. And I still didn't have a sense of smell in December and January and all that. I think it was in January. I was still at my parents with my daughter and I was on the other side of the house and my parents and my daughter were in the living room. Will had left the house and he came home. He was hanging out. He went to the store. He came back and I hear the door and I hear kind of silence. Well, my mom and my daughter had been playing in a tent in the living room and I hear more silence and then I hear screaming. And all of a sudden I knew intuitively that he had stuck his butt into the tent and farted thinking it was me with my daughter, but it was my mom and daughter. And I just hear screaming. So I grab my phone and I run because I'm like, I have to record this because I already know. And he's just like losing his mind because he's like, I just stuck my butt in your tent. And I thought it was you. And that's what started this whole thing. Like, I thought it was hilarious at the time because I didn't really smell anything. I didn't know the horror that was going to happen. My mom will tell you, like, she still thinks about it. Like, it was like a foot away from her face and just blasted. And she was just screaming. She didn't really smell anything yet because she had just ran and screamed. But it was so traumatizing. Even Will will be like, that was really horrifying. I posted that on TikTok and I think that's at like 1.5 million views now. And I was like, Will, you're famous for your farts. That's hilarious. Little did I know. But yeah, I thought that was a one-time thing when we were it got so bad so fast. And it the first time it hit me in the face, I projectile vomited.
Wait, okay. So tell me about the first time he farted in your presence and you could smell it, which I can imagine might be kind of a weird conflicting feeling because A, you're thrilled that your sense of smell has returned after a very traumatic illness. But then at the same time, it's like this wretched smell that you now are forced to inhale.
Well, you know, looking back, there was one single time before COVID that he farted in my presence. And I remember saying out loud, that doesn't smell human. And he said, that's so funny. My fiance before this, which was a moment for me, but my fiance before this said the same thing. And I was like, she said they weren't human. That's very like, that's a very strange thing to hear twice in your life. And then I got COVID. And then once I kind of came to and was married to him, I was in bed. I think this is when it was first so bad. And he would do these silent farts under the covers and it would just like crawl up to my face and just hit me like so hard. Like one of the lines I put on the Reddit post, it makes your mind feel like something bad happened, like a murder perhaps. That was like the best way I could describe it because it's like, you can't, like we weren't created to understand that level of smell. It's not like rotten egg. It's like, holy crap, something bad is happening. Like something died and ate itself. I don't even know. Like it's so bad. So I ran to the other bathroom and just projectile vomited. And I was like, this is not good.
It's so funny. Like, this is vile, this sulfuric acid that just came out of your butthole. So, okay, when this first starts happening, I'm assuming this is just like a nuisance to you. You're like, okay, can you like not do that in front of me? That's kind of gross. Or like, how are you reacting to this?
Yeah, I was annoyed, like perturbed a little bit, just thinking, oh, maybe he has like, his stomach is upset. And then it, you know, it was a couple of weeks in and I was like, okay, I'm having to start sleeping in my daughter's room. I'm having to start sleeping downstairs. I can't really be in the room with you. I'm going to start taking, like, I had prescription nausea meds still from, I think from when I had COVID. I'm going to start taking these because I'm getting too sick too fast. It was like one defining moment where I was like, I don't know if this marriage will work out over farts and, you know, just not really the farts, but just what that signaled maybe, because I started realizing, okay, he can kind of control this. I started taking note of like when he didn't eat nonstop dairy, cheese, boiled eggs mixed with taffy and ice cream and just a ton of lard. I just like, it was just so much. I took note of that. And on one particular night, I was like, this is so bad. Will, like, you need to go to the hallway. And he said, I promise I will if you'll just stay with me. And I stayed and he didn't go to the hallway. And I asked why. And he said, oh, I just don't, it's too far or something like that. So I went to my daughter's room. I laid with her. She'd been asleep for a long time and he snuck in. I didn't hear him. I was facing the other way and he let this silent one rip. And he'll tell you now that it was probably the top three worst he's ever had in his life. And I was gaslighting myself in that bed. Like, what is that smell? Holy hell. Like, oh my God, what is that? Like, is my daughter okay? Like, oh my God. And I start like violently dry heaving and running and screaming. And she like is startled and he's like crying, laughing so hard. And I start sobbing and I grab my pillow and I'm sobbing and I go downstairs to sleep because she went back to sleep somehow. I don't even know how. And that was the moment where I was like, I don't know if this is going to work because I feel like you're at this point. Just you could control what you're eating to cause your massive farts that are literally making me throw up my dinner and making my life hell. When I would sleep with my daughter in her room, I would put towels underneath the door and turn on the fan and the AC and then put towels under his door because it would leak through and circulate. Like, yeah, it was, I mean, this is so surreal. This is unbelievable, actually, just thinking about it. Like, how is that real? There's no way, but it's real.
I mean, the smell is one thing, but this is also starting to feel, and correct me if I'm off base with my assumptions here, this is starting to feel a little bit like a fetish to me.
Yes. So when I wrote that Reddit post, I had had two margaritas with my friends. I never drink. And so we were talking about Reddit that night and I was like, oh yeah, Reddit. And I had been thinking about his farts. It was a fateful night in July. And I was like, you know, I want to post on Reddit. I'm going to rant about this for 10 minutes. And I just described it in the most volatile way because I was so angry. And I just, for 10 minutes, I raged in incredible detail about like just ridiculous detail, like the most dramatic I've ever been, but also not that dramatic because it was actually kind of on point. And I was like, I bet I'm going to get like two comments. Maybe they'll like sympathize with me. And then the next day I was like, oh my God, that's viral. Holy crap. That's when I started reading the comments that were just nonstop saying, this is a fetish. This is a fetish. Oh my gosh. Like, and that he snuck in your daughter's room. That's gross. So I brought it to him. I was like, that's not resonating. I don't think that's what's happening. And he was like, ew, like not to fetish shame, of course, which is a weird thing to have to say in this situation, I would say, but not to fetish shame, but I wouldn't say that that is his fetish at all. I brought up him sneaking into my daughter's room and he was horrified. He was like, no, I just thought that was so funny. She, you know, she's seven. She thinks farts are hilarious. Like, she to this day hasn't like dry heaved or cried or anything like that. She's always thought it was funny. So he was just so horrified that people thought that. I don't think it's ever been a fetish. In fact, the comments, like he actually took note of a lot of the comments and realized that he might've been the problem. And yeah, it's been good for him to read the comments, but I don't think there's a fetish there.
Wait, this is actually huge for someone to hear about their behavior from an objective standpoint, be like, oh, like maybe I was in the wrong. Like, it's so rare for someone to hear about their self on the internet and actually take accountability for some of the shitty things that have come up.
Yeah, it was kind of like you know, he had lived at home most of his life, like had his own room and paid his own bills and things like that, but helped his parents and things like that. So he was kind of, I think he had a time where he lived away for a little bit, but always came back home. It was kind of like his first year out in the world. And one of the comments that I like to tease him about still on Reddit, somebody said he belongs to the world now. I tell him, like, I'm really impressed that you have taken all the criticism from the world and just kind of internalized it and gotten better. And he really, because that's really a redeeming thing. He's not a bad person. It was just very immature and selfish. And he didn't realize like how serious of an issue that is when like it's kind of abusive behavior is what a lot of people said. And he was like, oh my God, that holy shit. And that was his moment kind of realizing. And I was kind of shocked.
How long does this go on, like this whole farting escapade, until you're like, I want out or I'm done with this?
It wasn't even just like the farting. It was just that we're so incompatible as people living together and as married people. And we were way better friends and friends as two people not living together. I started seeing like big temperaments against with me and him. Like, I'm not a very temperamental person. I don't really yell. I don't do that very much. And we collided in that area. And that's a big deal to me. Just argument style. That's something that you see when you don't marry someone in 3 months. Just him and my discipline styles definitely collided. And, you know, with my biological daughter, that was very hard for me to be like, okay, well, I need to, you know, a lot of the churches are like, you need to fall under your husband's rule and his authority. And, you know, me and her biological dad are very much on the same page, for the most part, on discipline. And then with me and Will, it was just not very much at all. And just the church, different churches were saying, you need to still come under his authority and all this stuff. And I was like, this isn't rubbing right. I don't like this. Like, this isn't, there's a lot of things that are not aligning with how hard I've worked to raise her a certain way. And it just, all of it didn't feel right. The farting was a symptom of maybe someone that didn't look out for me as his wife per se. And he was starting to feel like, oh, why did I get married? I just married someone because I, you know, I love her as my best friend. He even said that, I married you as a friend. And I was like, I used to take guys that liked me and be like, do they really like me or do they just like me as a friend? And I was like, this is a whole new level. Like, he just told me he married me as a friend. Like, this is a whole new level of analyzation for my high school self to go through. Holy shit.
This is something I will be diving deep in therapy for.
This is a nightmare. Yeah.
There's a lot to unpack here.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think to your point about him not really taking your feelings and your well-being into consideration, I've read that that's one of the most telling signs as to whether or not a relationship is going to survive, is whether or not the other person considers the other person. Like, do you pre-plan things with the other person in mind? Or can I empathize with how someone is feeling? And really, like, he was just, it's exactly what you're saying, is it's very immature behavior for him to like fart under the covers and think that it's not as serious as it was, when clearly it was seeping throughout the entire house.
Yes, that, and yeah, and the people that are like, oh, I cannot believe you divorced somebody over farts, like, marriage is dead, America is screwed. I'm like, no, what you just said is the reason. Like, I had another moment in March, and we've worked through this, like, I've forgiven him, but it was a big moment for me. I have really bad luck at everything I do. There was a plug that goes into a wall. The two prongs were sticking up on the floor, and I was cleaning. I was going really fast. Like, I was trying to do it all in March and just be like the perfect mom and wife and work and all this stuff. It was so much. And I stepped on the plug and it like sliced through my foot almost to the other side. I was like, okay, I'm going to pass out probably pretty fast because holy crap. He took me to the ER reluctantly. I kind of crawled to the car and he was just so pissed about it. Just how accident prone I am, which I am. The next day I was like trying not to take pain meds. And because I didn't take pain meds, I like started blacking out. I lost my hearing. I threw up everywhere. The pain was so bad that I was like, I can't stand up. Like, my blood pressure is plummeting. I have to take pain meds, but I also have to get her ready and get her to school. And I was like, at that point, like his big thing is he needs to sleep in really late to get his rest. Like he needs a full 9 hours. And I'm lucky if I get 4 or 5, you know, as just a mom. He didn't like lights being on in his room. And I already wasn't sleeping in my room. I say his room, but my room because of the farts. And so I had to be really quiet and make sure like hallway light didn't go under the door. And yeah, when I threw up, I couldn't make it to her bathroom. I had to run into my bathroom in his room or my room. And I threw up everywhere. And he was really angry at me for waking him up with the sound of my throw up. And I was like, hey, I'm passing out. Like my hearing keeps going. I'm not staying conscious. Could you walk her to school? Because we live close enough. We don't drive her. And he said, no, you can hobble. I had crutches. And he said, I said, I'm keep passing out. Like I keep like almost losing consciousness. And he said, if you pass out on the way, a stranger will help you. And then he like turned around and went to sleep. So that was kind of another moment where I was like, oh, I'm not sure that I'm really being considered here.
Or cared for just as like a human. You know what I mean? Like that's, and I'm glad to hear from your perspective that he has recognized that after seeing it laid out like in writing. But was there a final moment for you that made you walk away from the relationship? Was there one final thing that happened?
It had to do with discipline. It wasn't anything physical. It was very much like we didn't see eye to eye on screen time, I think. And he told my daughter that he threw away her iPad. And it, I had a lot of pictures and stuff saved on there. He didn't actually throw it away, but there was a lot of trauma in that hour of me crying about it, being sad about those pictures and being sad for her. And, you know, that was the moment kind of like it was a couple of discipline things that week in April where I was like, there is, you know, once my daughter is involved, I don't want to do this. Like it's one thing for me, which I still wouldn't have been okay with the incompatibility and maybe not caring about me as a person. But once she was involved, I was like, okay, yeah, I can't.
Yeah. It's a testament to how much you love her because you considered how your relationship was going to affect her life.
It was a really big moment for us because she would say, mommy, Will is, and she loves him still. I mean, you know, he lives close by. Like we are civil. He's come a long way, but she would say, Will is nice to you sometimes and mean to you sometimes and nice to me sometimes and mean to you sometimes. And I was like, you know, I'm seeing like a pattern of this, you know, I'm seeing this in my relationships in the past. I'm seeing this with people around me and my relationship with even like girls, like just friends, that I'm a people pleaser. Like I get walked on, and I'm seeing my daughter do this with her relationships in school. She wants to be friend, like the bully, and like win her approval. And I was like, she's seeing a pattern. And I said, to my daughter, I said, if someone's not nice, sometimes they're probably not nice ever. And that means they're not a nice person and we're not going to stay around mean people. And it was just like, okay, if I don't stop it right now, like she's going to continue this in her relationships. And I was like, I have to stop it. And that's actually carried on from just my marriage with him to like all my friendships in life and other relationships. I've just had to look at it like, where have I seen this pattern of like being a people pleaser and a doormat that maybe isn't cared about? And I've put an end to it because I see how she's watching me. And I can't let her see that and continue that into her life.
That's incredibly brave of you because it's not always easy to leave a relationship, especially if you like him so much as a friend or feel like there's love in general. But it sounds like, and this is just my opinion from talking to so many people about their relationships, and I'm wondering if maybe you've talked to a professional about this, but it sounds to me like maybe you have a pattern of codependency with your relationships.
Yes. It started like really well-meaning. I just want to serve and I want to like help them and all this stuff. But then it definitely became that.
How have you worked through that at all? Or is this something kind of new that you're just realizing?
I am currently working through it. Like I'm currently doing an inventory of my whole life. And it's been crazy just standing up for myself. Just the anxiety levels have gone down so much. Just it's been crazy. Just watching my whole life change, it's going to be like a long road, I think, because this is kind of how I view everything and every relationship, not every relationship in my life, but how I had every relationship. And I kind of have put a stop on dating like completely in the future, like in my mind for a long time, because I'll have guys that reach out that are interested. And right now, like it's too soon anyway, but even in my mind, just thinking about these guys, I'm like, y'all seem like good, y'all from Texas, y'all seem like good people, but I don't trust myself to not have like
rose-colored glasses about all red flags, which, you know, if you have rose-colored glasses with red flags, they just kind of look normal. Mm-hmm. But once I can kind of see things for what it is, I couldn't tell you if a guy is truly good or not right now. And that's kind of scary because I can't get into another relationship until I can see clearly.
Was there something you learned? And I'm assuming this is from therapy. Was there something you learned through this growth process of trying to dismantle this codependency in your life that really changed your perspective on how you show up in relationships?
So interestingly enough, I, you know, his parents have never really liked me. I'm not really sure why, because my whole mantra has been to like, be kind, even if it's like killing me inside, you know, kind of don't fight fire with fire. And that's bothered me so deeply that they still don't like me to such a huge degree. And I think it's what I'm starting to see in the past couple months and like take a step outside my own life is with them specifically, that's kind of translating to a lot of relationships. The way people treat me is most likely them fighting their own war vicariously through you. And so I had to see that as like, that's not a personal thing. Like if I'm going to be the villain to them and there's nothing I could say that I did, then I'm just going to be the villain. And I don't really have to prove anything to them. If I'm going to be the villain to Will, which I don't think I am, he was the villain to me for sure. And to a degree still is. But if I'm going to be the villain to the guy I'm dating, like I don't need to prove that I'm not. And that was so huge for me from this relationship that has actually been life-changing. And a way I've translated it to my daughter is she's very confident. Like she stands up for other kids like at the playground, literally like she'll get in a boy's face. Like, what did you just say to that guy? You do not talk to someone like that. Like she stands up, but some girls like way older than her were calling her a name. They were like calling her a nerd or a dork and she was upset. And I was like, okay, if someone calls you a kangaroo, does that turn you into a kangaroo? Does that make you a kangaroo? And she was like, no. I was like, no, that just makes them sound stupid. And I started thinking that and I actually said that to his parents. I was like, just because you say these things doesn't make me those things. It just makes you wrong. Nobody can do anything to control you at that point. There's another video of him on my TikTok when he was really upset, he'll verbally lash out. And I just recorded it because he will say that never happened. I was like, no, this happened. And he can be very, very mean. And I would take every word he would call me and be like, I am those things. Like, I am ugly. I'm all that stuff. But when I started thinking about the kangaroo example, I was like, you know, all these things projected onto me and people fighting their battles vicariously through me, like their unhappiness through me and projecting it and all that, that doesn't define me. I had somebody in my past be like, I don't believe you about certain situation XYZ. And I just looked at them and I said, I don't care. And he was like, well, I need you to prove to me if you want me to believe you. And I said, no, I don't care if you believe me. It just doesn't change the past. It doesn't change if it's true or false. It just makes you not believe me. That's it. You don't have a time machine to change it. I don't need to prove anything to you. And I don't need to prove anything to him or his parents or anybody else in my life that I'm not the things that they're calling me, that I'm not those abusive words. They're just wrong. They sound stupid. And that's been like life-changing for me.
That's amazing. You're really speaking to me because I've gone through something similar this week where it's really hard when you spend your life as a people pleaser to accept that no matter what you do, you will be the villain in somebody's story. Even if factually, even if on paper, like you take all the objective or the subjectiveness and people's opinions and how they view a situation, like you have to accept the uncomfortableness of someone not liking you and being the villain. And the way you phrased it so beautifully, like literally Michael Scott, explain it to me like I'm five. Just because somebody says something doesn't make it true. And to your point, I'm bringing it home here, I swear. It's almost like we have to acknowledge and work through the self-esteem issues we have internally to try and understand why did I value that person's opinion more than my own belief in what is actually true and factual, which is that I'm none of those things, but why did I place so much value on that person's words?
Yes, because when you value what they're saying to that degree, then you don't really have an identity. If somebody tells you you're something else, you know, the kangaroo that day, then you are that day. And the thing that you can realize when you are seeing abuse for what it is, like in any relationship in your life, whether it be family or friends or whatever, is that in that moment, if they're saying abusive things to you and you look at them and you say, hey, all these words are definitely sounds coming out of your mouth, like that's for sure, but they don't mean anything to me and it doesn't change my identity. Let's just clear that up. You just watch the life drain from their face. Like it takes away their power. They cannot do anything. And it's just like, a lot of times at this point, the conversation has been over for me when I say something to them, like your words are not going to change reality. They just drop it because they're like, their power is completely removed because you know who you are. And they're making sounds with their mouths. That's it. That's their power. And that's really weak of them. And it's kind of embarrassing at that point.
Yeah, that's incredibly empowering. And I really feel like you have just resonated with so many people listening. Like I truly feel like so many people are going to be healed from hearing what you just said. So talk to the women and the men and anyone else who is listening that finds himself in a pattern of codependency, like what advice would you give to them so that they can have better relationships moving forward?
As someone that doesn't trust herself to possibly ever be in a relationship, I don't even know the time frame. I just know that what I found is that I like myself a lot more because I can see myself as the villain in a funny way in some people's stories. If I used to be the villain in the past, I used to beat myself up. And now if somebody says I'm the villain, I know I'm not the villain. I know that's just them saying that word, like we just said, but I have fun with it. I'm like, oh yeah, you know, I'm going to be the best villain I can be, you know, and just let it brush off. And then I start looking at myself, like, what do I want to do tonight? Like, what do I like about myself? I like that I'm funny. I like that I'm kind. I like that I am not like those people. You know, instead of getting upset that they did that to me, I am celebrating that I am the kind of soul and the kind of person that was raised to not do that. And I'm not going to like, not even being raised, but like, I mean, that was how I was raised, but that's a choice that I make. Hurt people don't have to hurt people. I was hurt. I have a lot of trauma and shit in my past that has happened. And it's really, really bad. I was hurt and I choose not to hurt people. And I'm celebrating that I'm not the crappy people that I've cut out of my life. That is so amazing to not have to be so miserable that I'm trying to make other people miserable. But I would just say, focus on like, in a way, dating yourself, which sounds stupid, but you don't have to ask permission to spend money when you're just with yourself right now. Like, get to know yourself. Like, how would you spend money without having to ask your husband or someone you're living with? How would you budget? What movie would you pick out? Like, and then just pouring all that time that was invested into other people or into, you know, her dad before and my almost ex-husband now, just pouring that into her has been huge. Like we are just we call ourselves the Gilmore Girls at this point. Like it's just look at the people that you're close to in your real life and just be like, okay, I'm going to put all that energy that I had obsessing over a man or a woman into this person and into myself and dating myself and choosing all that. And it's so much fun. Like, I'm like, why did I think that I needed this? And I hope that maybe naturally it'll come about. So I want more kids and I want that life. But if it doesn't, I'm so okay with that.
On Thursday, we're going to have a breakdown bonus episode talking about how the partner you choose affects how your kid is going to grow up and obviously why it's so important to make the right decision. And, you know, touching on codependency and maybe a fart joke here and there. I'll see you whenever you decide to tune in next.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big.